Very good. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 So after Krishna killed Kamsa, Kamsa had two wives, Asti and Prapti. They went back to their father because they had no sons to take shelter of. Their father was Jarasandha. So when Jarasandha now had his two daughters back with him, now they're widows, Jarasandha became very, very angry with the Yadu dynasty and Krishna. And Jarasandha decided that he would rid the earth of the Yadu dynasty. 17 times, Jarasandha attacked Mathura, where Krishna was staying. Krishna was staying after killing Kamsa. Krishna was reunited with his original parents, Devaki and Vasudeva. And so, 17 times, Jarasandha attacked. And each time he attacked, Krishna and Balaram would wipe out Jarasandha's army. And then Jarasandha would have to return to his capital city, Magadha. And the reason why Krishna didn't kill him on the first battle was Krishna knew that there are so many more demons. And one of the main reasons why Krishna came was to rid the earth of demons. Because that's what Mother Earth said to Lord Brahma, that she was overburdened by the unnecessary military industrial complex of the demons headed by Kamsa. He had orchestrated an axis of evil. All the demons had an alliance with Kamsa. So Krishna knew that if I don't kill Jarasandha, he'll gather another army of demons, and this way I can kill more demons. So 17 times Jarasandha gathered a big army, and Krishna and Balaram wiped them out. On the 18th attempt, Jarasandha got help from another demon, Kalayavana. So now Mathura was going to be attacked from two different sides. So Krishna was very concerned that Krishna and Balaram may be engaged in fighting Jarasandha, and then Kalayavana may pose a threat. So one night, the residents of Mathura went to sleep, and when they woke up, they found themselves hundreds and hundreds of miles away in a newly constructed city in the ocean known as Dwaraka. So they went to sleep, and when they woke up, there they were on the western side of India in Dwaraka. Krishna had constructed that city just for his family, relatives, and friends. And then Krishna and Balaram decided to tackle Jarasandha. And it was at this time that Krishna displayed his pastime of, what's that pastime called? Ranchorji, where he left the battle. Jarasandha thought that Krishna had fled out of fear of him, but that was not the real thing. The reason why Krishna left the battle was because he knew that there was this princess, Rukmini, who was about to contact him. So Krishna had better things to do than to fight Jarasandha. And it was at this time also when Krishna was leaving, Kalayavana was chasing after Krishna. And Krishna led him into a cave. And in that cave, Kalayavana mistook a sleeping man to be Krishna. He thought Krishna was faking and avoiding fighting with him. So he kicked the sleeping man. And the sleeping man was not Krishna, but a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, Muchukunda. And Muchukunda had gotten a benediction that if anybody awoke him, he would open his eyes and be able to kill that person. So Kalayavana was burnt to ashes by the blazing glance of Muchukunda. Then Krishna came out and showed himself to Muchukunda, and from their discussion, Muchukunda introduced himself, who he was, his family, and Krishna introduced himself, and then Muchukunda got a blessing from Krishna. And then Jarasandha set fires around this mountain, because Krishna and Balaram were on the top of the mountain. So Jarasandha set fires, and he thought, now I have killed Krishna. But what he didn't know was that this mountain was some 80 miles high. Krishna and Balaram jumped off the mountain and escaped. But Jarasandha thought, ah, I have killed them with my fires. So that leads us to this part. At this point, Maharaj Parikshit asked a question, and Shukadeva Goswami responded by beginning to narrate the history of the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Rukmini, the young daughter of Bhishmaka, king of Vidarbha, had heard of Krishna's beauty, strength, and other fine qualities, and she therefore made up her mind that he would be the perfect husband for her. Lord Krishna also wanted to marry her. But although Rukmini's other relatives approved of her marriage to Krishna, her brother Rukmini was envious of the Lord and thus forbade her to marry him. So you girls don't have that problem. You have no brothers that are going to interfere with whoever you want to marry. Oh, but that's all right. Rukmini wanted her to marry Shishupal instead. Rukmini unhappily took up her duties in preparation for the marriage, but she also sent a trustworthy brahmana to Krishna with a letter. When the brahmana arrived in Dwaraka, Krishna properly honored him with ritual worship and other tokens of reverence. The Lord then asked the brahmana why he had come. The brahman opened Rukmini's letter and showed it to Lord Krishna, who had the messenger read it to him. Rukmini Devi wrote, "Ever since I heard about you, my Lord, I have become completely attracted to you. Without fail, please come before my marriage to Shishupal and take me away. In accordance with family custom, on the day before my marriage, I will visit the temple of Goddess Ambika. That would be the best opportunity for you to appear and easily kidnap me. If you do not show me this favor, I will give up my life by fasting and observe severe vows. Then perhaps in my next life, I will be able to obtain you. So this is what you call full surrender. In fact, Rukmini said that even if it takes 100 lifetimes, I am not going to do any. You are the only one. Just by hearing about Krishna. Now, there was no text message, there was no Twitter, there was no video phone, Facebook. Just by hearing about Krishna, Rukmini knew this was the one. After reading Rukmini's letter to Lord Krishna, the Brahmana took his leave so he may carry out his daily religious duties. So that's part one. So everyone chant Hare Krishna for a second. After Lord Krishna heard the Brahmana messenger recite Rukmini's letter, the Lord said to him, I am indeed attracted to Rukmini. So that's very significant. Here is God. He is all powerful, all opulent, and he's also detached. That's one of his opulences. Yet, what is he? I am attracted to Rukmini. So, Sheila, what would be the only thing if Krishna has everything and he's also Atmaram, he's also self-satisfied? What would be the only thing that could attract him? What would you say? Yes, exactly. That's the only thing that attracts God, is simple, pure love. Nothing else. No prestige, no other qualification. Krishna or God or Ram, if you say Ram, they're only attracted to pure love. That's the only thing. So that's, despite the fact that Rukmini is most beautiful, she's an expansion of the goddess of fortune, she also has all opulences, but the real thing that why he's attracted is her love. And that's revealed later when Krishna tests Rukmini, when they have this conversation and Krishna says, you know, I don't think you made a good choice in picking me as your husband. This is after they've had children and grandchildren. One day Krishna says, Rukmini, you know, you were the daughter of a king. Me? You know, I'm not really a Kshatriya. I'm actually the son of a cowherd man. And, you know, people don't like me. And I have no, you know, I have so many enemies. And Krishna was going on, putting himself down. And Rukmini's like, what? And finally, Krishna says, basically, Rukmini, it's not too late. You could divorce me and marry somebody really qualified. And when she hears that, she just faints. And when she faints, Krishna picks her up and wipes her head and makes up with her, apologizes. He said, actually, I wasn't trying to say these things to make you, you know, unhappy. I wanted you to get mad at me. Because my other wives, if I talk like this, they get on my case. Hey, stop talking nonsense. But Rukmini, she was so submissive and so surrendered, she actually thought Krishna meant. She didn't think it was a joke. She actually thought that Krishna wants me to do. So Krishna at that time said, because of what I have just seen, that you're so submissive and surrendered to me, you're the best of my wives. He said that. I have 16,108, but you are the best. And you have captured me by your complete surrender. Let's go back. After Lord Krishna heard Rukmini's letter, the Lord said to the Brahmin, I am indeed attracted to Rukmini. And I know of her brother Rukmi's opposition to my marrying her. Therefore, I must kidnap her after crushing all the low-caste kings, just as one might generate fire from wood by friction. Since the solemnizing of vows between Rukmini and Shishupal was scheduled to occur in only 3 days, Lord Krishna had Daruka ready his chariot at once. Then he immediately set out for Vidarbha, which he reached after one night's travel. King Bhishmaka, trapped by his affection for his son Rukmi, was prepared to give his daughter to Shishupal. Bhishmaka saw to all the necessary preparations. He had the city decorated in various ways, had its main roads and intersections thoroughly cleansed. Damagosh, the king of Chedi, having also done everything necessary to prepare for his son's marriage, arrived in Vidarbha. King Bhishmaka greeted him properly and gave him a place to stay. Many other kings, such as Jarasandha, very interesting, Shalva and Dantavakra also came to witness the occasion. These enemies of Krishna had conspired to kidnap the bride if Krishna came. They planned to fight him together and thus guarantee Shishupal his bride. Hearing of these plans, Lord Baladev gathered his entire army and went to the city of Kandina. On the night before the wedding, Rukmini, about to retire, had still not seen either the Brahmin or Krishna. In anxiety, she cursed her bad fortune. But just then, she felt her left side twitch, a good omen. So ladies, now you know, if you get a twitch on your left side, good sign. Indeed, the Brahmin shortly appeared and related to her what Krishna had said, including his firm promise to kidnap her. When King Bhishmaka heard that Krishna and Balaram had arrived, he went out to greet them to the accompaniment of triumphant music. Actually, everybody in Rukmini's family wanted Krishna to marry her. It was only Rukmi who was against it. Only everybody else, her father, her mother, everybody wanted her to marry Krishna, but because of Rukmi. He worshipped the Lord with various gifts and then designated residences for them. Thus the king showed due respect to the lords as he did to each of his numerous royal guests. The people of Vidarbha, seeing Lord Krishna, remarked to one another that he alone would be a suitable husband for Rukmini. They prayed that on the strength of whatever pious credit they had, Krishna might win Rukmini's hand. See, everybody wanted Krishna to marry Rukmini. When the time came for Rukmini to visit the temple of Ambika, she proceeded there, surrounded by many guards. After bowing down to the deity, Rukmini prayed to be allowed to have Krishna as her husband. Then she took the hand of a girlfriend and left the Ambika temple. Seeing her inexpressible beauty, the great heroes present dropped their weapons and fell to the ground unconscious. That's how beautiful Rukmini was. All these big Kshatriya kings and princes were sitting on their horses, and when Rukmini came out, they became stunned and they felt, that's beauty. That's called beauty. Wow, they were stunned. Seeing her inexpressible beauty, the great heroes present dropped their weapons and fell to the ground unconscious. Just like Prabhupada said, woman is fire, men butter. They melt. They melt. You guys are so powerful. Do you realize how powerful you are? Yeah. Sometimes. Yes. We men are like butter. Yes. Rukmini walked with deliberate steps until she noticed Krishna. Then, as everyone looked on, Krishna took Rukmini onto his chariot like a lion claiming his rightful share from a band of jackals. He drove back all the opposing kings and slowly made his exit, followed by his associates. Jarasandha and the other kings, unable to bear their defeat and dishonor, loudly condemned themselves, declaring this defamation was like a petty animal's stealing away what rightfully belongs to the lion. And it's interesting, Shishupal didn't even fight. So that means he was totally unworthy. He wasn't even really to fight for the hand of his princess. So the only person who challenged Krishna was Rukmini. Everybody else didn't do a thing. Krishna just came, took Rukmini, and they didn't do a thing. And Rukmini chastised everybody. What? You're going to let Krishna take my sister? And that's what really gets me is Shishupal. I should have at least done, what? No wonder he wasn't worthy. What a jerk. Right? You got to fight for you. Right? Like Ram. When Ravan stole Sita, Ram didn't, Prabhupada says, Ram could have said, what's one Sita? I'll make a few thousand more. Ram could have done that. He could have made replacement Sitas. But Ramchandra showed, no, you have a wife, you must give full protection. So Ram had to go after Ravana and kill him because he kidnapped his wife. All right. Jan, Hare Krishna, please. Okay. Very good. How am I doing? Is okay?
Yes.
Two thumbs up? Thank you, Shiva. As Krishna was taking Princess Rukmini away, Rukmini gathered army and pursued him. Lord Baladev and the generals of the Yadu army turned to face these opponents, blocking their advance. The enemy armies then began pouring incessant showers of arrows upon Lord Krishna's army. Seeing her husband-to-be's forces under violent attack, Rukmini looked at Krishna fearfully, but Krishna simply smiled and told her there was nothing to fear. You sang, Abhaya Charanara Dindare. There she is at Krishna's feet. She has nothing to worry, but she's in this mood with Krishna, and so she's fearful. But Krishna simply smiled and told her there was nothing to fear because his army would surely destroy the enemy in short order. Lord Balaram and the other heroes then began to annihilate the opposing army with arrows. The enemy kings, headed by Jarasandha, retreated after suffering the destruction of their armies at the hands of the Yadu. So here's another time Jarasandha is defeated. He can't win, this guy. He can't win. Jarasandha consoled Shishupal. I love it when demons wax philosophical. It's really funny. Jarasandha consoled Shishupal. Happiness and distress are never permanent and are under the control of the Supreme Lord. 17 times Krishna defeated me, but in the end I was victorious over him. I don't know what he's talking about. Krishna just, thus seeing the victory and defeat are under the control of destiny of time, I have learned not to succumb to either lamentation or joy. Time now favors the Yadus, so they have defeated you with only a small army. But in the future, time will favor you, and you will surely conquer them. Consoled in this way, Shishupal took his followers and returned to his kingdom. So it seems Jarasandha thinks that Krishna left him out of fear. So that's why Jarasandha is talking like this. He thinks, well, he ran away from him. Obviously, that's how he thinks. Because he says here, but in the end, I was victorious over him. Rukmini's brother, Rukmi, who hated Krishna, was infuriated by Krishna's kidnapping his sister. So after vowing before all the kings present that he would not return until Krishna had been destroyed and Rukmini rescued, Rukmi set out with his army to attack the Lord. Ignorant of Lord Krishna's glories, Rukmi boldly went out to attack Krishna in a lone chariot. He approached the Lord, struck him with arrows, and demanded that he release Rukmini. Sri Krishna fended off Rukmi's weapons, breaking them to pieces. Then he raised his sword high and was about to kill Rukmi, when Rukmini interceded and fervently pleaded that her brother's life be spared. Actually, it says that Rukmini fell at Krishna's feet. Don't kill my brother. So Rukmini has a soft heart. She's not the B word. She could, right? She could have been that way. Kill him. Go ahead, rascal. No. She's soft-hearted. Then, just then, Lord Baladev. Oh, wait, I missed something. Rukmini pleaded that her brother's life be spared. Lord Krishna did not kill Rukmi, but with his sword, shaved off bits of Rukmi's hair here and there, leaving him disfigured. Just then, Lord Baladev appeared on the scene with the Yadu army. Seeing Rukmi disfigured, he gently reproached Krishna. Lord Baladev then told Rukmini that the sorry condition of her brother was only the fruit of his past work, since everyone is responsible for his or her own happiness and suffering. He further instructed her about the transcendental position of the jiva soul and how the illusion of happiness and distress is simply a result of ignorance. Accepting Lord Balaram's instructions, Rukmini gave up her sorrow. Rukmi, meanwhile, felt totally frustrated, deprived as he was of all his strength and his will to fight. Since he had vowed not to return home without conquering Krishna, Rukmi constructed a city on that very spot and took up residence there in a mood of undiminished anger. Lord Krishna took Rukmini to his capital, Dwaraka, and married her. All the citizens celebrated in lavish style, broadcasting throughout the city accounts of how the Lord had kidnapped Rukmini. Everyone in Dwaraka was delighted to see Lord Krishna united with Rukmini. So, on the occasion of Mohini's marriage, we bless and we pray that Mohini's marriage is healthy, holy, happy, wealthy, and flourished in all respects. You will convey that to her. Let's all raise our hands and we will bless Mohini. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And the young man's name is? Vincent. Vincent? Should I say it like that? Vincent? My Lord, please guide Mohini and Vanshong that they may become more and more favorable at your lotus feet, and please smile upon them and remove all the obstacles so that they may live happy, holy, healthy, wealthy, and peacefully. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is that all right?